So the Gemara's conclusion now, and it's not just based on Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel and Daf Yud Aleph, it's also based on Ula, because Ula also agrees that the only time a Sada could serve as a Chatzer if it's Einem Ishtameres to be Kone is if it's Omei B'tzad Sadeh. The Gemara says it's not only Ula, it's also Rabbi Barbar Chana, and everyone adds this condition that a Chatzer, if it's Einem Ishtameres, requires Omei B'tzad Sadeh. And just to reiterate, recap as to why and how we prove that principle of Omei B'tzad Sadeh from the case of Shichacha, is we're talking about a case of Zocher L'Vesof Shachuach, and we said that since the Bailin were aware of this Omer initially, even though they forgot about it later, they still have rights to be Zocher. And the way that works is that if the Shichacha is a valid Shichacha, certainly in the case of B'tzad Sadeu, the Shichacha of the Balabais is a valid Shichacha. And now, if I assume, which is the Gemara's conclusion, that there's a separate Ribui for Shichas Ha'ir, that even Shichacha when the Balabais is in the city is also a valid Shichacha, then we have to compare notes, so to speak. We have to compare the two cases. When it was Zocher L'Besof Shachach and the Baal was where? He was in the Sada. Then we said that his Sada is Zocher for him. When he makes the declaration that Omer Zesh Shachu Polim is Lo Yehei Shichacha, then that's valid. And yet if he's in the city, then his Shichacha will clinch the Shichacha, and his statement, his declaration that Omer Shachu Polim Lo Yeh Shichacha is not valid. He cannot undermine the Shichacha. So why is it when he's in the city he can undermine, when he's in the Sada he can undermine the Shichacha, and when he's in the ear he cannot undermine the Shichacha? The answer is because he can be Zocher in the case of Zocher L'Besof Shachuach if he's in the Sada, because then it becomes a Chatzer Sheinim Mishtameres Omeid
Mishtameres.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, it's Lundish in conceptual terms. You're right, Yosef. It becomes like a Chatzah Mishtameres. But I'm just saying, it's a Chatzah Sheinim Mishtameres. It's open on all sides.
Right.
The Neim are just pouncing on the Shichacha, but at the same time, it's Omeid B'tzad Sadeh. And Omei B'tzad Sadeh means that his chatzah can make a zchi on his behalf, even though it's a chatzah sheinim ishtameres. Mashenkin, if the Baal is where? He's in the city. Therefore, he's not Omei B'tzad Sadeh. In such a case, he cannot be zocher through his sada. So since Shichas Ha'ir Havi Shichacha, and this we derive from an extra pasuk, therefore the Shichacha is now valid. The Baal Bais wants to be zocher through his chatzah. He can't do so because he's not Omei B'tzad Sadeh. So I wanted to share with you a Ran. If you have the page I gave out about a week ago from the Otsa Mefarshei HaTalmud, it was page Tof Kuf Yud Aleph. It's the same page that we did last week. But there's a Ran here. You could take a look at the Ran if you want. It's in Chidushi Aran. Well, I don't know if they have Chidushi Aran in the back. But in any event, here it appears in a paragraph that says "My Timer" on the left column of this page, which is called officially Tof Kuf Yud Beis. And the Gemara says that since the Baal, in the case of Basoda, is standing next to his Chatzah, therefore he could be Zocher, even though the Chatzah is Einim Shtameres, because of the din of Omei B'tzad Sadehu. So the language of the Gemara was, May Taima Kevan Dekoi Gabe, he's next to his Sada, Havile Chatzero Vizochsel, and then his Chatzah can be Zoch on his behalf. So the Ran here that we're about to study in notes number 64 and 65, first we have to present the sheet of Tosus and the Rishonim, that the following is true. If the Balabais and the Kolim are Zochrim, then the Ani has no right to collect the Shichacha, because we have a Zechira on the part of both the Baal Bais and the Polim. Now, what happens if initially what we have is that both the Baal Bais and the Polim are Zochrim, Right, they're both aware of it, and now it's saying that what? That the anim have no right to take the shichacha. Then basically what you've done is you've undermined the entire mitzvah of shichacha. That's what Tosus is going to say, Dibra Maskel Zohar. Let's go over the logic of Tosus. Tosus says the following: if from the get-go, both the Polim and the Baal Bais, everyone's aware of the Omer, so then if you're telling me that excludes the possibility of the Aniyim being Zocha because it was a Zechira of the Baal Bais and a Zechira of the Polim, then you basically made it impossible for this Omer to become Shichacha. You're saying that the Baal Bais and the Polim could both, together as a joint effort, they could decide, yeah, we know about this Omer. And if they said that about every single Omer, let's say there are 100 Omerim in the field, and they would both declare, oh, look at the 100 Omerim, then forget about Shichacha. Because you're telling me that the Shichacha, the Zechir of both the Polim and the Baal Bais is enough to preclude Shichacha. So how do we set up the mitzvah of Shichacha? And the answer is that it all depends upon the Hascholas Shichacha. Do you remember this? We made a big deal about this. Lifnei Hascholas Shichacha, there's no such thing as Zechira, which we said equals Zechia, making a declaration that my son will be Zocha in all the Omrim. Because then there's no possibility of Shichacha. You've got to have some possibility of Shichacha here. If the Baal Bais surveys his field, he knows where all the Omrim are, and the Poel likewise knows where all the Omrim are, then both of them have a Zechira, and now the Baal Bais should be Zocha through his Sada. So then basically again, we've completely undermined the mitzvah of Shichacha. So it's impossible to say that the Baal Bais could make a statement, up front, at the very beginning, that I am Zocher, and therefore my son should be Zocher to me in any possible Shikha that might come in the future. That's totally invalid. However, there's something called Hascholas Shikha. Before Hascholas Shichacha, nothing happens. So the possibility of the Baal Bais saying, my son should be Zocha for me, even if he's only B'tzad Sadeu, is absolutely excluded. Because then, as we said at the outset, that would not allow for the mitzvah of Shichacha. So what are we going to talk about? Instead, we're going to talk about a different scenario. There was something called Hascholas Shichacha. What happens now? Kisheshachachu polim kvar nichnas lichlal shichacha varehu keilu yatsa mirshuso shel Baal Bais vaniyim lo zochu. This is what I call the limbo state. On the one hand, it's as if, since shichacha has begun, the Baal Bais' kinyanim, his bailus over the shichacha, is a little bit weak. It's roughly biyadim. On the other hand, it's still technically his, and therefore the Anuim don't have rights to be Zochin. It doesn't belong anywhere. It's not here and it's not there. Yeah. And why? Because Adayin lo nigma shichacha, right? We need not just the shichacha of the Polim, but we need at some point the shichacha of the Baal Bais as well, to certify, so to speak, the shichacha of the Polim. And what happens is now, as long as the shichacha has begun, and now the Baal Bais is in this he's at a crossroads, he's at a fork in the roads, and he can decide one of two things. He can decide, well, I'm going to forget about this Omer, if the Polim forget about this Omer, that's it. Or he could make a declaration that he wants his Sadat to be Zocha on his behalf. And since Adayin lo nigmara ha-shichacha, which means that the Aniyim don't yet have a right or a yad to be kona this shichacha, we need the Baal Bais' participation, is therefore yachol lizkos, the Baal Bais can be zocha through his field, and it's almost like he's being zocha min a hefker. Again, look at the chid zocha, you have to emphasize the chav ha-dimyon. He's not being zocha min a hefker. He still owns it. It hasn't yet left his rishus, but it's almost like it's hefker. Ki'ilu yatsa, you remember that line? Ki'ilu yatsa mirshuso shel bal habayis. That's the key line over here. But again, ki'ilu with a chaf hadimya, because otherwise the anim could come and take it right away. But no, shichas apolim is nichnas leger shichacha. I would almost say that there's a chalus shame in the shichacha. The shichacha itself is crying out, "I want to be shichacha, and I want the anim to be zocher." And that chalus shame shichacha and the heft of the omer is enough to begin to remove, to loosen up, so to speak, the grip of the Baal HaBayis in terms of his ownership over this omer. The anim, though, still can't be zocher because, you know, technically, until we get the shichas of Baal HaBayis, the shichas has not left the rishus, the bailus of the Baal HaBayis. So in such a case, we have aloch of tizkili chatzir. Yeah. Page, on the right side, it shall say tof kuf yud aleph. And on the left side of the same page, it'll say tof kuf yud beis. So we're about seven lines into that paragraph called my timeline. So you'll see a line that starts with the word shich. Well, that's not good, because a lot of lines start with the word shich. But if it's seven lines down, you want to underline the words ke'ilu yatsam reshuso shel Baal HaBayis. You see those words? This one, I think you're on the wrong side. Does it say on top tofkuf yud beis? So count that about eight lines, maybe. I don't know, I didn't count it. And a line that starts with the word shichah. Yeah, those are the words. Ke'ilu yatsim reshuso shel Baal HaBayis. This is the chiddush of the Ran. We're only halfway through because the Ran has another chiddush. That the Ran holds that once the shichah is chal with tchila shichah, when the polim forget about it, it's already ke'ilu yatsim reshuso shel Baal HaBayis. However, the Baal HaBayis has the right now, I call it the veto power, to do what's called a zechira, or more precisely, a zechia, which means he can press a button, so to speak, and have his chatzir be zocher for him before the shicha becomes shichacha. It's only tchila shichacha. And he could basically close the door on shichacha with regard to this particular omer. And how does he do so? Through zechia. Zechia means that he has his field, which is located right next to him. If you follow me, you know it's Bailo Bitzad Sodeu Bizoche on his behalf. So again, it's very interesting. He cannot be zoche before the shichas apolim because that would undermine the whole enterprise of shichcha. So he's got to wait until after the Omer is nichnas l'chal shichacha and it begins to weaken his kinyan and, so to speak, introduce the aniyim to make a kinyan. But it still hasn't left his rishus, and the Torah says he can now, what I call a veto power, he can declare that his chatzah should be zoch on his behalf. But that only applies if it's bitzad, omei bitzad sadeh, that means bailov basada. But if it's Bailov Be'ir, then he's not Ome B'tzad Sadehu, so he doesn't have the ability to be Zoche in the Shichacha, through Chatzah. But I wanted to point out, before we go on to the second Chiddush of the Ran, those last three words. Do you see the last three words before footnote number 64? And it says, Kizoche Min HaHefker, if you don't mind underlining those three words. Because he's learning here that basically the status of the shichacha after the tchilas hashichah of the shichas apolim is kind of like a status of hefker, which is beautiful because what we're trying to do is make an equation between our mishnah and the Bryson Peah.
It's not hefker. It's like.
Correct, but here's the equation here to Hefker. What he's saying is that Kfar Yotza, you remember I asked you to underline those words, Ki'ilu Yotza Rishuso Shel Baal HaBayis. But again, it hasn't yet entered into the Rishus of the Aniyim. It's in that limbo state. So it left his Rishus, it hasn't gone into their Rishus. That's called Hefker.
Again, Hefker.
Correct, but I'm saying, do you see the parallel here? Because again, what we're trying to derive here is our Mishnah. We want to know, can a person be Zoche in a Hefker, in a Metzia, that enters into his field even though it's a chatzah sheni mishtameres. And the answer is that if the case of shichacha is a case where the Baal HaBayis is going to be zoche, even though it's already ke'ilu yatzav reshuso, then the same din is going to apply in hefker, in a metziah, that the Baal HaBayis could be zoche with his chatzah, even though it's a chatzah sheni mishtameres on the object that's hefker, the tzvirat kedarko, and so forth and so on. Well, what does it say? Tzvi Shavar, I meant to say.
Also, the aniyim could also be zoche, because if it is hefker, then they also have the right to take it.
So again, that's why he emphasizes that adayin lo zochu. In other words, they don't have the ability to undermine the bialis of the Baal HaSadeh. But again, are you following David the parallel? The main thing is that you follow the parallel to our Mishnah. That's what I think he's trying to gain here, the Ran. When he adds these two words, kizochem and ahefker, he's trying to show you a parallel to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's a tzvi shavur that's in his field, and it's hefker, and he wants to be zoche through his chatzer. And the chatzer is nevachai chatzer she'ena mishtameres. So he needs to activate his chatzah to be zocha on this object that's hefker. Well, that's exactly what the Baal HaBayis is going to do in the case of shichacha, meaning once the shichas ha-poalim and the Baal HaBayis now has to reaffirm or reconfirm his bailus, and how does he do that through the chatzah? So that basically what he's doing is he's being zocha in something that has left his rishus to some extent. And now he wants to be zochen in a tzvi shavur which was never in his rishus. In both cases, the zechia operates even in a chatzah shenim shtameres based on the mechanics of omed b'tzad sadeu. Yeah. That's chiddush number one of the Ran. But I'm excited about this Ran because the Ran is formulating some of the ideas that we try to come up with on our own. You remember we tried to compare the Baal HaSadeh Zechia to a case of Aveda, which meaning that it started already leaving his Rishus. Or, for example, Chometz B'Pesach, that we gave an example of. Here, too, the Ran is emphasizing that with the Shichas HaPolim, we have already a Tchilas Shichacha. And here's where the Torah says to the Baal HaBayis, you have two options. You can clinch the Shichacha with your own Shichacha, or you have a right to activate your field, and you can make a Zechia through Kinyan Chatzer. And when he's making his chiyin through Kinyan Chatzah, the Torah is telling us that his bailus is like the bailus of a Baal HaVeda when he has no idea where in the face of the earth his HaVeda is. He's already, so to speak, lost his grip on, his hold on the object. And all he needs is to say, Vaili Lichisarin Kis, and a Yeish would work. Yeish is not Hilchas Kinyanu. So we're going to have this new din of Zechia, because the Shichas HaPolim already accomplishes the beginning of the weakening of the bailus of the Baal. Again, it's not completely Paka, the Aniyim have not yet been Zoch, it's not yet Shichacha, but since the Torah requires a Zechia here, therefore we can derive Halachas in Hilchas Zechia. In both cases, in our case of Shichacha, when the Baal HaBayis is Omid B'tzad Sadev, and in the case of our Mishnah, of a Tzvi Shavur, inside his Chatzer, and the Baal is Omid B'tzad Sadev, in both cases we have a Din of Zechia. And that Din of Zechia, in the case of Shichacha, makes it impossible for the Aniyim to ever be Zocha in the Shichacha. And in the case of our Mishnah, it means that if this Tzvi Shavur is inside his Chatzer, and he is standing next to his Chatzer, no one will be able to pick up this Tzvi Shavur and make a Zechia on it. Because the Baal HaBayis says Tiski Li Chatzeri, and he's able to be Zoche even with the Chatzah Sheni Mishtameres because he's Omid B'tzad Sadeu. Now we get to the second Chiddush of the Ran. U'b'shachuach me'ikara Hainu she'shacha Baal HaBayis lifnei she'shachu Paulim shehu b'sada shichacha. He says the following: what happens if the Baal HaBayis from the get-go forgot about this Omer? The Polim haven't even begun to harvest the Omerim in the field, and the Baal HaBayis already forgot about the Omer. In such a case, the shikha, the Baal Bais, is not registered as shikha, even though he's in the Sada. Vatam shalom rim she yizke Baal Bais al yidei sadehu afshu ome bitzida mishum shebechatz shenu shesed kolo mitzia sheni yodua ba afilu bi ome tzatzde kevin sheni yodea ba yani chenu b'vielech v'ena mishtameris al yoda. This is a gewaldige chiddush in the Ran. The Ran is saying now, you'll see it annotated here in 65, and he's saying the following. Well, let's say that there was shichachas hapolim, and then there's shichachas habal bayis. Now again, we spoke about the sequence. First comes shichachas hapolim, and then comes shichachas habailim. Correct? And in such a case, the Baal Bayis is going to have a right to be zocher with his sod. That's called zocher v'sof shachuach. And we said that if he's omer b'tzad sadehu, he can say, you know, omer sheshachu polim lo yehi shichecha. Oh, but now let's flip it around. Let's say in a case of shachuach meikara, and the Gemara says that's called shichecha.
That's all you day polim.
No, shicha meikar means that there was a convergence? There's a better
together.
Word. Of both the shicha, the Baal Bayis, and the shicha hapolim.
And that's it.
Oh, and that's it. Then the shicha is irreversible, irretractable. Yeah. Why not say that the field of the Baal Bayis should be zocha on his behalf, even if he's, and how much more so if he's omid b'tzad sadehu?
Right, but he's not aware of it, so it doesn't work.
Oh, excellent. You see, I never would have come up with this, Chiddush Yosef. You would have come up with this round on your own. I just
read it.
Okay. But intuitively, I would rack my brains here. I would never come up with this, Chiddush. He's saying that the difference between a chotzeh mishtameres and a chotzeh sheni mishtameres is that in the case of a mishtameres, it's konolo shalomi daito. He doesn't even have to be aware of it. But in the case of chotzeh she'ena mishtameres, we need his omei v'tzad sadeh. He's got to be aware of the fact that he wants to be zocha in something when he's through his chotzer. But here's a case where he happens to have an object that's in his, we'll call it kehefker, as you say, David, that's in his chotzer, and it's ena mishtameres, and he is omei v'tzad sadeh, and yet his chotzer is not going to be kona for him. Now, why is that so? L'chor, we have all the conditions necessary, right? We have an omer that's in the sada. The Baal Bayis is omer b'tzad sadehu. We said that the Baal Bayis is given an option to be zocher in his in the shichecha, and a chotzer through this din of schia can acquire on behalf of the Baal Bayis a full fledged kinyan on this omer. So why are we saying that Shachuach Meikara is Shichacha? Why not say the opposite? Let the Baal Bais be Zocha through his Sada, and he's Omei B'tzad Sadeu. But the answer is that even if he's... Oh, you see, this touches on Yosef Yolam, this one before. What's the mechanics of Omei B'tzad Sadeu? Yesh Lachkar. Does it convert the Chatz into Chatz HaMishtameres? Or does the Chatz remain a Chatz Shein HaMishtameres? And then Afkamina is going to be Shalomi Daito in the case of Shichacha. If it becomes through his Omei B'tzad Sadehu a Chotze Mishtameres, then what's the Chotze Mishtameres with a fence here, a fence there? As we'd say in Yiddish, a fence ahin and a fence aher. What difference does it make if there's a fence? He's Omei B'tzad Sadehu. That makes the Sada to a Chotze Mishtameres. Is then the Shichas of Baal Bayis would be irrelevant because we have a yad, or shall we say permission granted by the Torah for the Baal Bayis to be zocher through his chotzer, and that's exactly what's going to happen if he's omer b'tzad sadehu. But the answer is nein. We're not saying that because the Baal Bayis is omer b'tzad sadehu, therefore the chotzer gets converted or upgraded into a chotzer mishtameres that can be konish lo midaito. No, it still remains a chotzer sheni mishtameres. But through the chotzer sheni mishtameres, the Baal Bayis has the ability to be zocher in that kehefker that's in his chotzer. Oh, now if you're saying it still remains after everything is said and done, hey, chotzer sheni mishtameres, now we need daito. It's not, it doesn't fall under the category of chatzer shalom konelo shalomi daito. Ah, if we need daito, here's where the shichacha comes to play. Beautiful explanation of the Ran. Let's go on in the Gemara, because there's a fascinating piece of Gemara that we have for today, Mirtz Hashem. And it's Esve Rav Abba, Rabbi Abba Le'ula. Okay, we're going to learn a little bit of Maestros here. And we're going to learn a little bit about Maestro Rishon, Maestro Ani.
Oh, here it is.
So let's see where it is. So we're all on the same page. Three lines up from the bottom of the page. Excellent. Esve Rabbi Abba Le'ula. The names that here are pretty important. So it's Rabbi Abba who's asking this kasha to Ula. Ula was just the one that we had a line before this who confirmed the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel that in a case of a chatzis sheni mishtameres, we have to require the condition of omeid b'tzad sadeh. We have a mishnah in the second, in the fifth parak of Maaseh Sheni that says the following: Maaseh Rabbi Ram Gamliel uz kenev. There were three others, Canaan, that were with him on a boat. And they were Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's important for us to know is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya was a Levi. You're also a Levi, right?
Yes, still is.
So yeah, I'm wondering if you, maybe you're related to Rabbi Yeshua, right?
To
Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya.
Same first name.
Any Hananias in your family?
No,
so here you need my family. Okay, my brother's name is Hananya. Anyway, so they're all on a boat. Now here's the problem. Rabbi Gamliel left Peros back home that were Loma Usarim, which means they have a status of Tevel. And he wants to solve this problem for two reasons. First of all, he wants to be Mekayim in the midst of Afashas Maaseh, but he's very far away from the Peros. And secondly, he wants to make sure that no one Chas Shalom will eat from the Peros, assuming that he wouldn't have checked out on the boat unless he had been Mafish. So imagine the ingenuity here of Halacha. You're a million miles away from your house, and you have Tevel, and you want to be Mafrish, number one, Rishon for the Levi, and number two, let's say it was the third or sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Meiser Oni. How are you going to do it? By remote control. You're 6 million miles away from your... But you're lucky. Why? Because who's with you in the boat? You have a Levi that's with you in a boat, and you have an Oni that's with you in the boat. Because Rabbi Akiva is very poor. His father-in-law was very rich. But that didn't help Rabbi Akiva much. Anyway. So, Hayuboyim bisfina. And Rabbi Gamliel remembers about, you know, the peros that he has back home, and he wasn't Mafrish Maser. So how do you solve this problem long distance? Omar Rabbi Gamliel, Isur Shani Asid Lamud. Now again, here we get issues of Brera and so forth, so, but let's leave that, all those issues out for the moment. But let's say, and you just in an imaginary sense, he designates a certain part of his field that's worth masa, it's worth a tenth of his field, and he gives it to the Levi. Nasun Yoshua, Yeshua ben Hananya was a Levi. And that's how he is Mekayim the mitzvah of Maser Rishon. Now wait a second. That's very nice, but the only problem is, how is Yeshua ben Hananya going to be Zocha in the Maaser that's, as we said, miles and miles away? So the answer is Umakomo Muskerlo. What I'm going to do is, says Rabbi Gamaliel, I am going to rent out a place in the Soda. And again, exactly how he's going to effectuate a kinyan schirus with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya long distance, that's not an issue at all in this Gemara. Let's say he accomplishes that through Lomar Zogin, Kinyan Suda. I'm just throwing out a possibility. Otherwise, maybe Yeshua will dig into his pocket and give him a Shava Pruta. Whatever it is, he now owns rental space in the ground of Rabbi Yeshua, of Rabbi Gamliel's bias, and where are the fruits, the miser, they're sitting on that piece of karka which Rabbi Gamliel rented to Rabbi Yeshua. So far, so good. Okay. Now, what does Rabbi Yeshua gain the moment that he rents out that piece of land? Three words, three letters, one word. Starts with a ches and ends with a resh. Have you figured it out yet? No? I'll try to get it. A chatzah, right. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya owns a chatzah, and what's inside the chatzah? His maaseh. So through chatzah, he can be zoch in the maaseh. I thought this was like a brilliant chap over here. Imagine I rent you a place, we're on the boat, and I give you a kinyan suit, you make a kinyan a piece of karka. This is what some of the, I don't know if you know this, but some of the rabbanim who oversee mechiras chametz, they want to make sure that every kinyan is possible. So what they do is they ask the bala chametz to rent out some space, a little bit of, I don't know, dalet al dalet underneath the closets or something. So the guy now can be kona the chametz with the kinyan. Chatzer. I mean, again, I'm not sure if a guy has a Kenyan chatzer, but if theoretically he does. Alright. So that's what goes on over here. And Rabbi Yeshua pays, again, I don't think he has to pay a full value for that karka. It was a small piece of karka anyway, but rental value for a small piece of karka, let's say he pays him a couple of piastres. I don't know, he pays him 100 ruble, whatever he pays him. Now, Rabbi Akiva also needs to rent space. Why? Because Iser Acher, Shani Asid Lamud, and now we're talking about Maiser Ani, Nosun Li Akiva Ben Yosef, Kideshi Yizke Bola Anir. Now, the language of the Brisa here is not exactly the way I said it to you. I thought that Rabbi Akiva himself was the Ani. No. Rabbi Akiva is the representative of the Anir. He's the long arm of the Anir, he's the Gabai Tztaka. And as a Gabai Tztaka, Zoche Liodom, he can be Zoche for Shevet Anir, for the whole group of Anir. Now, how does Akiva ben Yosef acquire ownership of the fruits as a Shliach for the Anir? I mean, we're really back to the same question that we just asked about the Maiser Levi that was given to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So now, as far as the Maiser Ani is concerned, we're going to give that Maiser Ani over to Akiva ben Yosef, and he'll be Zoch on behalf of all the Aniyim. Kosmakova Muskala. But now, what kind of sod are we dealing with? Now, I don't know why. Okay, excellent. The truth is, I do know why, but I'm going to play a game with you. I don't know why this chatzer in the premise of the Gemara is a chatzer sheinu mishtameres, because the Gemara has to find kasha. This is a rhetorical question, right? V'chi Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Itzad Sadeu Shel Rabbi Gamliel Hayodin. Where were they? They were in a boat out in the sea. So there's no Omi Bitzad Sadeu. So it's true that Rabbi Yeshua owns through Schirus a piece of karka, and the same is true for Rabbi Akiva. But they're nowhere near the karka. So even if they own that karka, Bekinyan Schirus, but nevertheless, it's not Omi Bitzad Sadeu. So if we're talking about Kinyan Chotzer, and we're saying that Kinyan Chotzer, according to Rabbi Yudim Arav, and according to Ula is the one who's getting the brunt of this kasha, is got to be what? If we're saying that, I lost the trend here, if you could help me out. So again, it's Makomo Muskar, but is it Omi Bitzad Sadeu?
Yeah.
No, for sure not. So now we have a kasha on Ula. Again, he could have asked this kasha to Rabbi Yehuda and to who else was it? Rabba, whoever it was, but they weren't available. So who was the culprit here? Was Ula, because Ula was the one who said Ome Bitzad Sadehu. Well, here in this brisa, it's apparent, and it's a Maisa Shahoya, that they were able to be Makne the Meiser without Ome Bitzad Sadehu, simply by allowing Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva to own the chatzer. That's all they need, is ownership over the chatzer.
But the chametz is in a makom hamishtamer.
Oh, so that's Tosfos kasha. How did the Gemara know that this was a case of a chatzer sheni mishtamer? Meaning, where is the meiser? The meiser could be house. Out in the field, or it could be in his house. If it's in his house, then we have a chatzer mishtameres. If it's out in the field, then it's a chatzer sheinu mishtameres. Unless he has fences, you know, a hive, you know, around the field. So Tosis comes up with a chap over here, and he says that even though the tfu was in the bias of Rav Gamliel, it's still called a chatzer sheinu mishtameres in a relative sense, relative to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. You follow? Hey, let's say I want to be makna something to you, and I give you a chotzer. Mm-hmm. You're the kona and I'm the makna. Who requires a chotzer mishtameris? The makna or the kona? The kona, yeah. For sure, right? So in this case of maser, then the levi or the oni is the kona. The question is not whether the bias is a chotzer mishtameres for Rabbi Gamliel, the makne, but whether it's a chotzer mishtameres for Rabbi Yeshua the kona and Rabbi Kiva the kona. So Tosa says that for them it's not a chotzer mishtameres. Why? Because the two is all mixed up, and you know, at any point, the you know, Gamliel or his household could decide that, you know, this, oh, you want that tefu, well, that's not maser. Let's see Tosfos inside. He says, Yeshlamed del Gabi Haskenim, with regard to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, lo haya mishtamer. Why? Shalo haya hefse bein tefuaso litefuasam. Do you see that? Yeah. So
no, again, nobody separated these in the beginning.
Correct. Now, yeah. I think what he means here is that if anybody claims, you know, that they want to take this as maser, then again, I don't necessarily mean Rabbi Gamliel, but any of his house members of his household could say, "Go fly a kite." There's no identification of the tefuah. You know, I can't pinpoint the tefuah and say that's the tefuah that was separated as what? As maser. Let me just see if by chance I have anything here. We're on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, correct? Just 1 second. Where am I? Bechi Betzad Sadeu, correct? That's the Dira Maskil?
Yeah,
I just want to see if by chance in a million, which this never helps me, by the way, but just want to see if he has anything on this.
There's another
he
answer.
Says, wait, just give me a second. So let me just get my head on straight. So what's the deal over here? Where am I losing this? Oh, maybe it should be here. He says, Reish Chav Zion. I just want to see if he adds anything here. Oh, he says we're Gamliel, according to Tosa, Dain lo hifrish mamish es hamatonos. I don't know what mamish means here, but
hadn't actually set anything aside.
Right.
Designated.
Maybe mamish means then befall. Is that how you interpret it? Okay.
For real.
Ela karolem shem bilvad.
Right. From a distance.
Right. Into a physical.
So again, I wish he would spell it out, but I think what's going on here, Piderach HaPashtus here, is that no one, you know, Rabbi Yeshua or anyone who represents Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Akiva can actually take away, you know, drag away the maser, because it's all mishkababel.
It's a hafrosha. Do we need a mirror and an actual physical hafrosha for it to be found?
Well, he said that has to do with Brera. Yeah, that's the part of the sugya that I wanted to leave out here. Let's say if you hold Yesh Brera, so that's then good. What happens is that when Gamliel gets back home, because he said, Osid, you know, Master Shani Osid Limo, that I'm going to measure out, now he just has to designate, but he doesn't need a new Hafrashas Master because Yesh Brera. I'm just, again, I don't want to get into the sugya Brera because I'll get totally lost. Brera is like one of the largest sugyas in Shas. But in any event, he says the following. V'chi Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Akiva b'tzad sadeh sh'Rav Gamliel hayu omdim. So we're talking again about what kind of chatzer? A chatzer she'ne mishtameres. And according to you, Ula, you need what? Omed b'tzad sadeh. Were they omdim b'tzad sadeh sh'Rav Gamliel? Obviously not. So it must be that a chatz is kosher, even if the Baal Manat Omi B'tzad Sadehu. All we need is that they have Ratzon, a declaration, a Das Kona, that they want the chatz to be koned on their behalf. And this, by the way, proves what I said when I say yes, I mean the last Shia that we had, that if not for Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, we would have assumed that if a person makes a declaration from a distance that he wants his chatz to be zoch on his behalf, then that declaration is valid, it activates the chatzer, and the chatz will be kon of him. You don't need omei b'tzad sadeh, even though it's ein mishtameres. The chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel was that we have to add another condition to chatzer in the case of ein mishtameres, and that's v'hu omei b'tzad sadeh. And now we see a case where, according to this Brisa, they were able to effectuate a Kinyan Chatzah without what? Without Omeid B'tzad Sadehu. And it was a Chatzah She'ena Mishtameres. Correct? I keep saying a Brisa, I apologize. It's really a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the fifth Perek of Ma'aseh Sheni. All right. And now the Gemara, he's going to tell us a little bit of a story and make a total reversal. We thought that what Rabbi Gamliel is trying to effectuate here is a Kinyan Chatz, and then it has to do with the Kinyan Aga. If you remember good old Kinyan Aga. And then we're going to enter into a whole sugya of Kinyan Aga. But first let's get a little bit more of the story here. I call it the politics. Ha'amar Leh. Ula, when he heard this kasha from Rabbi Abba, he talks to him in third person, and he says to him, "Domi Haimi Rabbanan." You know, this rabbi seems to me, and he's talking about Rabbi Abba to his face, "Kidlo Gamri in Shishmata." I can only describe him as someone who has not studied the sugya. That's a very heavy statement. I mean, what was Ula's answer to the kasha? I mean, nothing is obvious. I mean, Ula is saying that this person who asked me the kasha, meaning you, Rabbi Abba, you're someone who never learned the sugya in his life. Could you imagine saying that to someone? It's like the Rav calling someone an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Which could have happened.
Never.
What?
That never happened.
Well, close enough.
Yeah. We throw them out of the shear, I thought.
Yeah, it could happen. I'll tell you the honest truth, I've been teaching for a while. Very often I wanted to throw people out of the shear because they asked stupid questions, but I never actually did it. Anyway, so he says that it seems to me that you never learned the sugya in your life. In other words, Ula didn't even bother giving an answer to Rabbi Abba. He just like pushed him away. So now Rabbi Abba is sitting on Shpilkas here, right? He's trying to figure out why is it that Ula, Rabbi Abba gave himself a pat on the back. He thought he found the Mishnah in Masechet Ma'aseh Sheni that undermines the whole sheet of Omei B'tzad Sadeh. And Ula, when he asked the guy, Ula didn't even respond. He just told him, "You never learned the sugya in your life." So Kiyosel is Surah, So when Rabbi Abba came to a different part of Bavel, that's called Surah, Amar Lahu, he turns to the Chachamim and he tells them the whole Maisa. Hachi Amar Ula. Ula said that you require Omer Vitzad Sadeh. V'hachi Osvine. And here's where I found the Mishnah in Maisa Sheni that contradicts Ula and proves quite clearly that you can have a Kinyan Chatzah remote without Omer Vitzad Sadeh. And Aroleah Humi Rabbanon. Okay, so now, now it's very interesting because we really don't know. You see, Rabbi Abba comes to Surah, correct? And he tells over the whole Maisa back and forth to the Chachamim, and he says, "I asked him this kasha." But I didn't get an answer to the kasha. So Amar Lei Hahumi Rabbanan. So one of the rabbis, I wish I knew who it was, but anyway, some anonymous rabbi turns to Rabbi Abba, and he says, "You know what? I'll fill in here for Ula. I'll fill in the missing blanks. You know, how is it possible that Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva were Konan and Masros when they were remote? They were so distant from the Chatzer. It's a Chatzer Shem Shameres." And you need Bailov. Right. Bitzatzadeyu. So this Ahumi Rabbanan comes forward with an answer to the question, to justify how the Kinyan of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva was valid, even though they weren't Omi Bitzad Chatzero. And the answer is Rav Gamliel, how is he makna to them? He was makna to them mitaltale agav mikarkoi hiknalehem. We're talking about being makna masros with a kinyan agav. Now the pella, the amazing feature of the kinyan agav is that you can have a karka somewhere in the far ends of the earth, and you can have metaltalin way, way far away from them, and you can be makna metaltalin agav karka. So what
metaltalin are not on the karka.
Even if that's the machlokes whether you need siburin or not. Let's assume we don't need siburin for argument's sake, right? Because you know what? I don't even think we have to get into that. You'll correct me if I'm making a mathematical error, but I don't even think we have to enter into the famous kasha whether or not agav requires tzibur. So let's understand what Rav Gamliel achieved. He was makne the maestros bekinyan agav the karka. Now, do they own karka? Well, the answer is they did own karka. Because it was makomo muskalo. Now, I don't know. Are we assuming, which is not a bad assumption at all, that the maser is sitting on this agav karka? You know what I'm saying? The karka that he rented to them, that Rav Gamliel rented to them, was hosting, if you will, I don't know what word to use, the maser. Again, before we said in Tosa that it's apparent that he didn't even separate the maser, but if we're going with Brera and we're saying that wherever I'll be Mafris, so you could already apply that to the Schiris of the Kark as well. But in any event, it could be that you don't need Tziburin and so forth and so on, but right. he was Machna the Metaltalin Agav Karka, which means he was Machna to Rabbi Yeshua. Let's take just Rabbi Yeshua for a minute. The Maser Levi, Maser Rishon, Agav Karka, meaning if I want to be makna you two things at the same time, I want to be makna you karka and makna you metalta, I could do both bevasachas, and that's called metalta agav karka, or alternatively, right. So let's go with that. I mean, let me not complicate myself. So there's a whole new twist on the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. We've been so trained, almost like conditioned, to understand that the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni with Rav Gamliel and the Zkenim is talking about Kinyan Chatzer. And then we ask the Kasha, but it's not only Bisad Sadeh, it's a Chatzer Sheni Mishtameres. The answer is no, we're not talking about Kinyan Chatzer at all. He was Makna, Rav Gamliel, with one Hakna, Karka and Metaltin, which is called Metaltin Agav Karka. And has he accomplished that goal by giving a schirus in the karka to Rabbi Gamliel, to Rabbi Yeshua, and to Rabbi Akiva? So do you see, Yosef, how I circumvent the problem of tzibur? Because it could very well be that the master itself is sitting on top of this piece of karka that he's being maskir him to them. Fine. Let me just see. Oh. So he has a... So let's read a little bit weiter. And he says, Rabbi Zera Kabla. Just 1 second. Where's Rabbi Zera? Well, I lost Rabbi Zera here. Where do we have Rabbi Zera? We had Rabbi Zera?
Yeah, eight lines. In the middle.
Oh, in the middle.
Zera,
what?
Begins Karkei.
Right, no, I'm reading Rabbi Zera Kiva, but I'm just wondering where is Rabbi Zera? It sounds like, you know, you get the impression Rabbi Zera was hanging around there. I don't know. Okay, Nishkefelech, maybe this is the first time the Gemara introduces Rabbi Zera. I don't know. Anyway, Rabbi Zera accepted this new interpretation, Rabbi Avalo Kibla. Hey, he was the one who asked the kasha, so he had vested interest not being the Kabbalist parents. I don't know. But Amar Rava, Rava now wants to support Rabbi Abba. He did a great thing, and I want to congratulate him, applaud him, because of Lo Kibla, he shouldn't accept his teretz. So Rava is going to explain now why Rabbi Abba should not accept this teretz, meaning that you cannot plug Agav into this Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Why? And he says the following. I don't get it. If he wanted to be Makne the Maisris, so why did he need a Kinyan Agav to be Makne the Maisris? V'chilo hoyolahem sudar? Did they have a turban on their head? Liknos mimenu v'chalipin? They should have found some piece of cloth, some beged, that could effectuate a Kinyan Chalipin. And in that method, Rabbi Gamliel could have simply been makne the maaseros to them with a kinyan chalipin. And for the fact that that wasn't an option, we see that the problem was a much more fundamental problem. Ella, for sure, they couldn't have been makne the maaseros with kinyan sudar. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Gamliel is not a bailim over the maaseros. Now, it's kinyan sudar only works when you absolute bailim.
What do you mean? It was his stuff.
No, because he gave it as maaser. Once he gives it as maaser, it's not his anymore. It belongs to Shevet Levi or to Shevet Aniyah. So in that case, he can't use a kinyan chalipin because he can't be makne maaseros once it's maaser. Again, you have to know about Brera. Again, I'm leaving out that part of Brera. So what does Rabbi Gamliel have in the Tvua? He has something. And what's that called? Anybody know? You'll see in the next line of the Gemara.
Tovas Ano,
because the Torah says he has a right to decide which Levi he wants to give it to.
Yeah.
Or which Aniyim he wants to give it.
Collecting favors.
Correct. So that's called the Tovas Ano. And now the question is, what's the status of Tovas Ano? Is Tovas Ano moment or Eino moment? So right now, Rav is assuming that Tovas Ano Eino moment. If Tovas Ano Eino moment, then Rav Galil doesn't have enough ownership rights on the Maaser to be mocked into the Maaser through a Kinyan Suda to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And that's what he says, Tovas Ano Eino moment. And therefore, you're not able to liknos vimenu. You know, the Baal over this Tovas Ano cannot be makne. He cannot be makne with chalipin that which he only has in Tovas Hano, but it's not really his. He's hachinami here too in the case of what? Of Maaser Rav Gamliel, Tovas Hano ain't a moment liknos al gabi karka. Oh, now I got it. The Rav in this sugya is now making an analogy between agav and chalipin. And to the same extent that you cannot be makne, you cannot be makne. Just 1 second. Where's it? Which is the melamed and which is the nilma? Just give me a second. Tos hana in a mama. Lukinos al gabi karka. Oh, to the same extent that chalipin doesn't work. Mm-hmm. In Maser, because you only have a Tovus Hanoh in Maser, so you can't be Machnet through Chalipin, so too Agav can't work. Agav doesn't work and cannot operate where Chalipin cannot operate. So that's the point of analogy of Rava that we have to study tomorrow. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick it up from Hachinami Tovus Hanoh Eino Moment. Because I want to go over this last svar of the Gemara. So we're getting on to whole issues about Tovus Hanoh and about Agav and about Kinyan Chalipin and Chatzah. I mean, we have like all of Didi Mominus is right here in like one sugya. It's an overlap.